It's often amazing the different emotions that run through your heart. As I sit right here for the last 3 months now, four months since I've sat here. But over the last 25 years that God has given me the opportunity to do this, there's some mornings when, seriously, there is a knot in the pit of my stomach that the best Boy Scout couldn't untie. Part of that's for the fact that sometimes I don't feel as prepared as I should be. Sometimes it's because there's so many other things going through my mind that I might forget what it is that I wanted to say. That happened the very first time I ever spoke. I was 14 years old at Alberta Bible Camp. Because my last name began with an A, the director said, "Lau, you are doing our service this evening." So I wrote down a sermon. I memorized it because God has blessed me with a good memory. I got up, and less than 30 seconds into my lesson, I went totally blank. I stood there, which felt like a week, before the director said, "Lau, go ahead and sit down." And so I did. And he came up to me afterwards and said, "Okay, you're going to speak again tomorrow night, and you're not going to memorize it this time." That kind of emotion. And there's also emotions of excitement that I just can't wait to share with you what I've learned, what I've experienced. I want God's people to see this and to know this. And that's exciting. And then sometimes there's just this wave of emotion that floods over you when you think about the fact that we get to spend time in each other's presence, but in the presence of the God of heaven, who loved us so much that when he called our name, we were able to run out of that grave. I couldn't sing it because the thought of that just is more than emotionally I can handle. And that's why I'm excited as well to bring to you the lesson this morning. I hope you had a great holiday season. I hope you had, that your, as I said last week, that your Christmas was so merry, that your holidays have been happy. That you enjoyed spending time with family and friends and have family who came out of town to visit, or you, some of you who are listening to me on the whatever social media you're using, you were able to travel to spend time with family. I love Christmas. Matter of fact, one time I did a sermon, it began this way: "My name is Lyle Asbell and I'm a Christmas lover." That's just, I love this time of year. And like you, I like getting gifts, and I like even more giving gifts. And I want to ask a question before we begin this morning. For you to think back, what was the greatest present you've ever received? What is it that somebody gave you, whether it be Christmas or birthday or anniversary or graduation, or maybe it was just one of those just because kind of moments when somebody very special to you just out of the blue gave you a gift? I want you to think about the best gift you've ever received. I can think of one for me. It was Christmas just before I turned 4 in January. And I had written Santa a Christmas letter, and I asked him to bring me a puppy. And I wanted a puppy. And I listed everything else, but it says, "If you can only bring me one thing, bring me a puppy." My sister was born December the 16th, and I didn't get a puppy. And I wrote Santa and asked him to take her back. I shared that with her on her wedding day, but that's one of the best presents I've ever received. And see, and that's why I wanted us to spend the time that we're doing over this last couple of weeks together talking about the kings of Christmas. We talked about the king who fought Christmas and explained to ourselves that it is possible for that Herod spirit to still exist. That those of us who look to the God of heaven and says, "You can have control and authority over every part of my life, but this. This is mine. Keep your hands off of it." The last time we were together, we talked about the kings who sought Christmas. And we discussed the beautiful fact that God is the one who initiates our journey to coming back to him. And that when we seek him, we will be able to find him. that God is the one who took the initiative to make this broken relationship that we experience because of the sin that's present in the world in which we live and the sin that's present and lives within sight of each of us. God took the initiative to make the journey possible for us to return back to Him. But this morning, I want us to think about the King who brought Christmas. I asked you what you thought was the best Christmas present you've ever received. I know what David Schaefer would say. David Schaefer lives in Moline, Illinois. And his wife decided just after Christmas was over, and she saw what would be the perfect gift to give to David. It cost $127.50, and she didn't have it. So she made arrangements with the store. Would it be possible for me to put it in layaway? Can I just make payments on it as I can? I can't promise you that I'll be able to make them every month, but as I can I make payments for it? And they agreed. And finally, in September of that year, she had enough to get that gift out of layaway, and she could not wait to give that gift to David. Matter of fact, on Christmas morning, she was probably more excited than she's ever been in her life just to see his eyes when he opened that gift. And when he opened it up, David Schaefer knew that was the best Christmas present he had ever received. As a matter of fact, that gift saved his life. And we'll get back to David in a few moments. Because what I want us to think about is the King who brought Christmas, because there's two things that's so very important for us to understand and to remember. Brothers and sisters, you and I and all of God's creation of humanity is on the top of God's Christmas list. We're right there on the very top. When God looks out at us, he says, these are the ones that I want to give. I want to bring to them the greatest gift possible. And because of that, number two, God gave us the greatest gift ever. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to spend some time in this section of text and let Matthew kind of explain to us, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, this King who brought Christmas. But before God's word speaks to us, let us speak to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that you have blessed us with this morning to be able to gather together. Father, I am mindful of the fact that there are many who could not be with us because of illness, because of travel, or because, Father, their life on this earth is no longer here. And Father, we are grateful that we can experience the greatest gift ever given, indescribable, as Paul calls it. And Father, this morning, my prayer is that you would be with me, that you would give me the gift of speaking. Not so that I would receive the praise of men, but because I want the word of God to be heard. I want your word to be what resonates in our hearts and what controls our thoughts. I want your word to be what changes who we are and humbles us and encourages us and lifts us high. May you be honored this morning at the reading and the sharing of your word. And in Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to... Did not want to expose her to public disgrace. She had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. And notice what he says, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And the whole Christmas story, everything behind it, every reason it occurs, is because of this. We definitely were in need of a gift. Verse 21. And the gift was God to be with us. Verse 23. Now, we realize that this is the birth of Jesus, but this is not the beginning of Jesus' existence. As we were reminded, David, as we gathered around his table, this was God's plan from the very beginning, that God would send his son to save a rebellious creation. That the God who created us loved us so much that he was willing to offer the greatest sacrifice imaginable, and we get to celebrate that. But listen to what Jesus says about himself. Just moments before he was born. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 through 7. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus says, Father, I know that it's not possible for the sacrifice system that was established to permanently remove the sins of your people. And so here's what you did. You decided to give the best present imaginable, and you wrapped it up in flesh. I'm amazed that some people have such an incredible gift of wrapping a present. That is not my skill. But there are some people who, I mean, it looks like it's something that was just a painting that somebody created, that there's no way that you could get the corners that tight and the edges that even and the tape that small and the bow that doesn't collapse and the ribbon that's, I mean, all of that. It's amazing how people can do that. But the most beautifully wrapped present ever this world has received was not a present with paper and bows. It was the divine God wrapped in skin and bones and flesh. That's the beauty of what Christmas is all about. But you know what is the saddest thing I can think of? It was true then, and unfortunately it's true every year at Christmas, that there are those who refuse to accept the gift. Notice what John writes for us in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a story told that of a man in just plain attire walked into a cathedral in the Netherlands. And he walked up towards the front and took his seat. And just a few moments after that, a lady in very elegant, expensive attire walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder and says, excuse me, you're going to have to move. That's my seat. Go away. And so he went back and sat in the section of the cathedral that was reserved for the poor. After the service was over, a person walked up to her and says, do you realize what you did? You just told King Oscar of Sweden to go away. He was here for the Christmas holidays to visit our Queen. And brothers and sisters, the sad thing is that there's still the spirit in every one of us sometimes to tell the King to go away. We don't want this gift. And what I don't understand is why people do that when you consider what the gift really is all about. You see, the gift means, first of all, that God is real. There is a quote that's been attributed to Yuri Gagarin, who was the first human in space. After some research, I've found out that there's a good chance that what's been attributed to him is not actually true. Yuri Gagarin went into space April the 12th, 1961. On April the 14th, 1961, it is recorded or reported that Yuri Gagarin said, "I looked and I looked and I didn't see God." After research, I realized that Yuri Gagarin was a very devout believer in God. As a matter of fact, he got in trouble with the Communist Party because of his orthodox religious beliefs. But during a meeting on the 14th, he was meeting with Nikita Khrushchev, and he said, "Did you see God?" He said, "Yes, I did." He says, "Don't tell anyone." The statement, I looked and I didn't see God. W.A. Criswell, based upon the claim that that was what Gagarin said, said, "Have him step outside of his capsule for 5 seconds and you'll see God really, really quickly." And that's a very true statement. But here's what John wants us to understand. That because of Jesus Christ, we can see God. That Jesus is real. And brothers and sisters, the greatest news that we can tell this world is the fact that God can be seen and can be found and can be experienced and can be allowed to be the Redeemer of us, which is why he sent the greatest gift ever in the first place. John says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And what God wants us to understand is that God is real and he's self-revealing. There is nothing, brothers and sisters, that you and I can know about God that God hasn't revealed to us. I can't go to a library and research God and find out information about God. But I want you to imagine something, is because when you understand the harshness of what I'm about to say, you'll understand the preciousness of the fact that God gave us a gift. I want you to imagine a world where there is absolutely no godly influence. None. No love, no hope, no kindness, no obedience. Nothing, absolutely zero reference because of God. Some people would call that hell, and that's exactly what it is. And that's the world that we would have if God did not let us know that he's real, that he came into this world to make a difference. The gift also means that God is near. You see, the gift tells us that God is real, but it also tells us that God is real close. I like how the Message translates this verse. It says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." And even the very last words of our Bible contains these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." There's a couple of things that this verse says to me. First of all, it tells me that God understands my pain. God understands my emotions, and God understands my hurts and my fears and my anxiety, because he became flesh and blood and moved into my neighborhood But it also tells me that I'll never, ever have to be alone. That he was always with me. You notice what Emmanuel says? God is with us, not God was with us. That God is with us just as much as he was with Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. God is with us. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful understanding of why God gave us the best present ever. But the gift also means one more thing, and that is God is love. Many of you may remember who Phil Rizzuto was. After an illustrious career of playing baseball, he became a broadcast commentator. And Joe Torre, after playing for the Braves and the Cardinals and the Mets, became the manager of the Braves and the Mets and the Cardinals, and later on others, the Los Angeles Dodgers, I believe, and there may be another one in there. And one time Phil Rizzuto said, I don't understand why managers stay on the field. If they would just come upstairs to the press box, they could see so much better and make even better decisions. When Joe Torre heard that, he said, yeah. But on the field, I can look him in the eye. And brothers and sisters, our God came downstairs to look us in the eye. Because that's how much he loves us. We can look at the majesty of creation and know that God is wonderful. We can look at the order of the universe and know that God is wise. But the fact that he came downstairs to look in my eyes tells me that God is love. And that he wanted nothing in the world more for me and you someday to be able to move into his neighborhood that he came and he moved in to ours. John puts it this way in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. A couple of final thoughts, and this morning is yours. Number one. You have to admit you need the gift. All of us sometimes receive gifts we don't want or don't need. I know some of you may have a closet full of socks and ties that you'll never ever use. But you see, if what we needed was education, God would have sent a teacher. If what we needed was rules and government, God would have sent a politician. If what we needed was money, God would have sent an economist. If what we needed was entertainment, God would have sent an actor. But what we needed was salvation, so God sent a Savior. I have to admit that I need the gift. Number two, I have to receive the gift with thanksgiving. How would you feel if you spent 8 months looking for just the perfect gift to that most important person in your life? You researched, you studied, and you finally came across it, and it didn't matter how much it cost, it didn't matter what effort you had to go to acquire that gift, that's the gift you wanted to give, and on whatever the holiday was, anniversary, birthday, Christmas, you presented that gift to them, they opened it up and said, how much do I owe you? And yet so often, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we do to God. He gives us this gift of his Son, and we look at him and says, how much do we owe you? How hard do I have to work? What effort am I supposed to extend? How long do I have to be at this? When is there enough on my credit column so that outweighs my debit column? And God says, don't insult the giver of the most precious gift. We have to accept the gift with thanksgiving. And And finally, we have to put on the gift, because it's worthless if it stays in the box. You remember David Schaefer from the beginning? David Schaefer was a police officer in Moline, Illinois. And on that Christmas day, his wife gave him a gift that he knew was the best thing he ever received, and he put it on. Several months later, he was called to a break-in and entry at a pharmacy. And as he approached the crime scene, he came face-to-face with the perpetrator, and the guy shot him at point-blank range with a .45 caliber pistol. The impact of that shot knocked him to the ground, knocked him several feet backwards. But he lived. Matter of fact, all he got out of that was a really bad bruise. Because the $127.50 gift his wife gave him was a bulletproof vest. And he lived because he put on the gift. And brothers and sisters, you and I will only live, truly live, when we put on the gift. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Which is why I am never ashamed or embarrassed to talk about the importance of baptism. Because that's when I put on the gift. And brothers and sisters, there may be some present this morning who have never put the gift on. Some of you may be in this room, and we can take care of that right now. Maybe you're listening to me. 6500 South Eastern Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. Or wherever you are, where that you can find someone who wants to help you put on the gift of Jesus. Two final thoughts. Mary, the mother of Jesus, represents all of us. She just happened to be the first one who let Jesus live inside her. But every one of us has that privilege to put on the gift. The second one is, some of you may be familiar with Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie once said, "If Jesus was born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but never in me, I'm still lost." Brothers and sisters, we have received the greatest gift ever imaginable, because it was created in the mind of an infinite God. And as we look at the close of 2020, and yes, Joey, we all know what 2020 held for so many of us. Here's my hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Paul tells the Colossians. And the reason that's possible is because God knew that there would be men and women who would still fight Christmas. But God also knew that there would be men and women who still sought Christmas. And so what he did is he sent the King of Heaven to bring us Christmas. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this year. I know there's been so much that's happened. So many sorrows, so many tears, so much chaos and confusion, so many goodbyes. And yet we as your people still have hope. Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus can live inside of us too. Father, I pray that the words that your people have heard this morning, even though it was my voice that may have reverberated in their ears, that it was your words and your voice and your calling and your declaration of love to each one of us is what we heard. Thank you for the indescribable gift. Forgive us when we, like so oftentimes during this time of year, when we take a nativity scene with Mary and Joseph and the camels and the shepherds and the sheep and baby Jesus, and we put him back in a box for another year. Father, help us keep him out of the box and to take the gift and to accept the gift and be thankful for the gift and to put the gift on. Is my prayer in the name of the greatest gift ever given, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything we can do to help you live a life as if you truly are one who's wearing the gift, and there may be some who go, I want to open that present, I want to take it out of the box, and I want to put it on, and I want to be baptized, then let us know. Let us know during the singing of this song. Let us know this afternoon. Call us at 3 o'clock in the morning, because we want to help you put on the gift. And just like that bulletproof vest saved David Schaefer's life because he put it on, eternal life is promised to those of us who put on Jesus. And if we can help you do that in any way, let us know as Joey, you lead us in our song.